Okay, now the end of the month of January and the end of the series of Dhamma Talks. May you, everyone, settle down and be prepared for the talk and give the consent with 3 times sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස තේනයි මා ගන්ධිය සත්පුරුෂේ භජිස්සසි යතෝ ත්වං මා ගන්ධිය සත්පුරුෂේ භජිස්සසි තතෝ ත්වං මා ගන්ධිය ධම්මං සොස්සසි තතෝ ත්වං මා ගන්ධිය ධම්මානු ධම්මං පටිපදිස්සසි යතෝ ත්වං මා ගන්ධිය ධම්මානු ධම්මං පටිපදිස්සසි තතෝ ත්වං මා ගන්ධිය සාමං ඒව ඤස්සති සාමං දක්කසීති තී Dear Heaven Blessers, Dhamma Prince, is a kind of a conclusive remarks the Buddha made towards the Magandhya, and this is the sap or the crux of the teaching of the Buddha after the effective dialogue between the Magandhya and the Buddha. At the beginning it appeared like very arrogant and opposite each other like, but Buddha took enough time and to talk with him, and lucky enough the Magandhya also was happy to face the situation directly with the Buddha. And then, as we concluded, even for a king, those who are believed to be fully developed and full-fledged in the sensuous pleasure and having all the indulgence and sensuous gratification, indulgence, and as far as they are not satisfied with it, as far as they are thirsty, as far as they have this fever, their mind never be introvert, and they will never see peace, a sustainable peace, and because they have this thirsty. Whatever they got never help them to be satiable. And so therefore, whatever the progress, whatever the productivity, whatever the creativity they have, even if it is fulfilled, they are completely wandering or bewildered. And Magandhya is agreeing with that at this time. And then instead the Buddha, he says, if someone knowing the insatiable nature of the sensuous pleasure, and even though you expect by the materialistic gain and luxuries and kind of thing, they are always extrovert. So always unappeasing. And knowing that, what about renouncing them? So this is a kind of a radical kind of a reflection. That that radical reflection is known as yonso manasikara. You think the root cause and you can understand the suffering happening within and the appeasement happening within. But the world is bewildered. They are seeking happiness in materiality and external world. And as far as they are having that idea and still not happy, not enough, they will never look inward. That is, they are deprived of that kind of a happiness and contentment. Instead, once you renounced, then you can understand the techniques, ways and means you'd have taken to get rid of this direct sensuous pleasure related with your senses, i.e. with the visual objects, the ear with the sounds and the nose with the smell, the tongue with the tastes, and the body with the tactile sensation, and the mind with mind object, or daydreaming, fantasizing, all the kind of thing. They hold the perception of sense pleasure you indulged or you aspired. You look forward for the pleasure, and even you renounce the world, they are chasing behind you. They are the one we call obsessional kind of defilements. And they have been categorically recognized as nivaranas, or the hindrances to your clear-cut understanding. They are five in number. And when that happened to be, when that happened to face-to-face with, you are in utter trouble. That is what we call renounced kind of suffering. At household, you have enough suffering, and a lot of agents and a lot of companies and a lot of internet companies come and say, this is the only way to do this and that, but not a single person have experienced such a thing, and they are ever searching like a leper or a person with a skin disease. They are always burning the same skin and scratching it, and it's ever become sore, ever become oozing and spreading. But instead, when you come in, if you renounce and observe the obsessional kind of defilements, then only you can see, while you are grabbing, while you are accumulating, while you are gratifying, it's like a skin disease, like a skin situation. But whenever you try to get rid of that, they start chasing behind you. So that is called renounced kind of suffering. So we mendicants, we recluse, and we residential retreatants, we talk each other, because we somehow the other temporary or permanently manage to get rid of this household kind of suffering, and then when you are obsessed with the obsessional kind of thing, there are some completely different sets of rules, different way of restraint, and they are usually known as spiritual. They are normally used as religious, and when they are doing it, each and everyone consider these five hindrances as my personal. They never think it's a common thing. They never think it is an endowment of our human life. They personally have agenda how to get rid of this sensuous desire, how to get rid of this hatred and the unsatisfied or dislike, and how to get rid of this sloth and torpor, how to get rid of this hankering bitter in the past and regretting and future planning, and how to get rid of this entertaining of doubts. And everyone considers this as a personal threat. But not a single person born free of this obsessional. So they have to have a common, we have to have a common effort. We have to have a gathering together and talk each other and to understand these nivaranas. We are very happy to say it is my obsessional, it's my distraction kind of thing. But there is no such nivarana. It's a very common disease. And the day you understand the only way out of this nivarana or obsessional kind of defilement is to focus your attention on a materialistic thing, rupa dhamma. And unless otherwise you focus to something, you cannot do away with nivarana. So we have to think about what is the one particular single object, or pivotal point, or the benchmark, or the assembly ground for us to do away with the household suffering and the renunciated kind of suffering. Geya sitta domanasa and nekkamma sitta domanasa in Pali. So even though you all have locked down and chased away from the jhana grove, I hope then Buddha have experienced some occasions whereby you are sure my mind is with the in-breath and out-breath, or mind is with the rising and falling, or mind is with the sitting experience, or maybe in walking up and down, or when you are brushing teeth, whatever it may be. So at that moment, you'd have experience sometimes knowingly or unknowingly, the household kind and the renunciated kind is gone. Your mind is focused to that. And when that happens, you can understand how difficult to maintain that alignment, how to maintain that pure thought moment. But it is not a matter of understanding that pure thought moment. You will see, if you are born bright, it's an endowment, your birthright. You are born with it. So you, when you are assimilating your own ways and means, you can see sometimes, if you are really focused and really geared, really avenued, strategically you can maintain few thought moments, few seconds, few minutes in the single object. So when that happens, if you are skillful enough to understand the in the deductive knowledge and inferential knowledge, at that moment I am away from the household suffering and the household kind of worries and the renunciated kind of worries, then you will see the potential. But even though you are skillful in avenuing and focusing and kind of thing, the body and the mind is making so much of impediments, so much of directed dispositions, so much of hidden agendas happening in your mind. And earlier you thought that five hindrances are the main culprit, and this is me and this is mine. But you can see, even if it is done away with that, there are some another layer under the carpet, some defilements. So they also, if you are going to take it as an enemy, if you become depressed, you become discouraged and worrying, that is the defilement. Instead, if you get the proper instruction and go, even though you done away with the transgressional kind of defilements, even you have skillful and done away with the obsessional, there is another layer. And that very understanding, I am face to face with that substrata or the basement, that itself is a great thing. Don't declare war against it. So we, towards the end of the yesterday's discourse, we try to put it in a fourfold method. Sometimes you clearly know, now I am in the primary object, so to say, for an example, sitting, and I know I am in the breath, in breath, not the out breath, not the in breath, like very sharp. So sometimes you can see, I can somehow or the other manage with the in breath and out breath, but I feel some pain, I hear some sounds, I feel some inner thoughts happening in the background of your mind or foreground in your mind, and still you can be aware, my main thing is the primary object, but I am not completely free of other distractions, but somehow they are the managing, as if you are driving in a traffic jam, you are not going to have any accident or kind of thing, you just understand it's a traffic jam. You can't have the desired speed. And after a while you can understand they are gone. Again, you can come back either to primary object or the third option, you are utterly taken you for a ride. You are completely bogged down in your thought or pain or sounds. And that is also whenever you are in in-breath, if you know you are not out-breath. I mean in-breath, I am not in out-breath. And whenever you are in out-breath, you know I am in out-breath, not in the in-breath like. If you know this is not my primary object, but I am utterly taken for a ride, I am in secondary object. I am bewildered. I am unmindful. So that is still, if you are not worrying, if you are ready to experience it without getting feverish, without getting shaken, without become allergic, and without self-cursing, without finding fault with others, that is greatest. That easily you can have in a group sittings, group walking, and meditation, and there are some cases. It's not a successful meditation as such. It is not a successful sitting as such or walking as such, because you know you are not at home. But still, if you can report it like that, I knew about 5-10 minutes I was dreaming and fantasizing and thinking and bewildered. Oh, my excruciating kind of pain. Left leg is like a torturing. Oh, the sounds are hearing. And you can understand the sound is not the thought. Thought is not the pain. Pain is not the primary object. So you can clearly indicate this is my distraction, and the reporting is not a defilement. It is not a bad thing. So this third option, only for the vipassana yogis, they can understand I am not at home. And whenever you become familiar with that kind of a bewildered, off-the-track kind of experience, when the mind calms down, the instruction is, being under such distracted positions, can you still look at your sitting body? Can you still look at the in-breath and out-breath in intervals, occasionally? The day you see it, you will see this is the way of we call see through. Look through the distraction and still you can see the primary object. As if while you are in the primary object, you can see distractions like. So when the last option happens, still if you are so calm, if you are so collected and contented, then you can see still the breath is calming down. If you are based upon the rising hand, it's calming down. Because the main thing is not to worry. When such a thing happens, and Buddha is giving that kind of, not of course in this fourfold method, and say, after that the Buddha is have an exclamation or utterance telling, Arogya Paramalabha Nibbana Paramansukha. The highest gain is the health. Of course in corona situation, yes. And whenever you have that appeasement or Nibbana, there's no other pleasure as such. Not in the luxuries, not in the sensuous pleasure kind of thing. And then the Magandhya was utterly happy with the Buddha. Oh, this is a wonderful exclamation. This exactly we find in our scripts. Arogya Paramalabha. Nibbana Paramansukham. Then the Buddha is asking, what do you mean by health? Then he touches hands and the body. He says, I am very happy, I am healthy here. That is what I call the health. Then Buddha is telling, this is the way you people measure. You have the script in your body, in your holy script, but you read only the materialistic part. You are happy with your body and strong and healthy, but you never consider the health of your mind. So therefore you people interpret health as your bodily health, bodily strength, or we can say beautification and bodybuilding and the Iron Man or beautiful woman. And that is the bloody foolish world today. They are going for the outer appearance and they are making advertisements endless, because they know each and everyone will succumb to this situation. So then the Buddha says, you people never see the Nibbana because your perspective is wrong. You know the scripts, you know the mantra, and you don't know how, you don't understand it. Therefore, sorry, whatever the faith you have, whatever the learning you have, whatever the desire you have for your spiritual life, and whatever the logical deduction you have in your argumentation, and whatever the belief, never leading to the appeasement. And it's very strong, very sharp. And when that happens, Magandhya says, "Oh, I understand, Venerable Recluse Gautama, please, please let me know your way of teaching, because I am a devoted person. I know scripts by hearsay, and I like it myself. I know this is the best like, and I have my argumentation, deductive thinking, and I have my belief. But now I feel the way you are revealing it is very vivid. Sadhava, please, please, please teach me." So now you can see how the turning point, and it is depicted in this particular sutta in a very, very organic way, very, very aesthetic way, how it happens. So it is not a premeditated thing. In the discussion itself, it's happening. Of course, it is, we call discourse. In the discussion, it's happening. And then the Buddha says, imagine a born blind person think that I have to go to sometimes to the society, so therefore I must wear the proper suit, proper attire. And then he gave a person some money and says, please make me adorn with proper clothing. But the person who has taken money is cheating him. He is giving a very dirty cloth, used one, and says, this is the best in the society, so be happy and go to the people. So the born blind go to the people thinking that he is very adorned with happy with the new clothing. And when you go there, the other people can understand the blind person is coming with such a dirty second-hand clothing. But he do not know. Hardly any person can convince him, you have the desire to go to the forest, go to the society in the decent clothing, attire, but you are not presently with that kind of thing. How can I convince you? Because he can't verify that. The best thing is to take him to an eye doctor, or eye surgery, and give sometimes very harsh treatments according to the time period. They have the acupuncture therapy, acupressure therapy, and it was available at that time. You had to pierce some needles, and you can't convince the blind, born blind. You have to say, hey darling, you have to have your own suffering. You have to undergo these the treatments. And imagine that particular person managed to take it for granted and underwent the surgery. And soon he see things as they are. What will happen to his new clothing, new attire? And he can understand, Even though I spend money, even though I have the desire to go to the decent, the crowd in the decent distinct, this is what happened. So likewise, you people believing so much of wrong beliefs, you have so much of wrong way of argumenting, deductive knowledge and the inferential knowledge. You have so much of theory understanding. You are so dedicated and you are so faithful. I am sorry. You can't see what is happening. But only thing is, there should have an eye surgeon to open the eye, remove your blindness, and that is how you have to see things as they are. Otherwise, a lot of fabrications. I mean, a lot of storytelling, a lot of magics, a lot of curvy roads. But the direct path, or see things as they are, they are under your very nose. There are no so long, 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 long formulas. There are no mantras. There are no mystics. But people, they are happy with their old clothings, they're greased and soiled and dirty, and they are adjusting and adorning and kind of thing, but they are born blind. So therefore, the Buddha says, I'm sorry, you have all the qualities, you have paid everything, but you will never go. Then again, of course, Buddha presents the other side of the story, and whenever a person is born blind person, become eyed or visual person, what a kind of opening he is going to have, and look at the problem from the complete different point of view. So if I am to just take a off-road, Upandita Sayadaw is giving a very, very, very dramatic, very wonderful kind of explanation the Buddha to be when he was practicing in very ardent and very self-mortification kind. There were 5 disciples. They were so happy because the Bodhisatta, the Buddha to be, so ardent, practicing without eating, without bathing and all kind of thing. And they all were happy. But the Bodhisatta knew this is not the path. So it happened due to the talking about the middle path in a musician. Then he decided to give a little basic needs to the body and get the support of the body and then have a middle path. And then while he was practicing, all 5 left, thinking he's so luxurious, and he started eating, and there he is not more made up his mind for the understanding, and therefore they left. So then the Buddha himself enlightened, and then he thought, to whom I can communicate at the beginning. Of course, he refused. He denied not to talk because the whole world is blind. So then due to the invitation, there may be some people with little blindness and little dust on their mind. And then the Buddha took step. So I am going to repeat a little bit. So after the Buddha selected the way of life middle path, the 5 attendants, they went off. But after a contemplation, the Buddha again thought, they are the only people can understand what I am going to say. So when the Buddha walked weeks to these 5 disciples in the Saranath from the Buddha Gaya, and when they are seeing the Buddha, they thought, now still he needs our support because he is coming to the princely family. He can't live without assistance and the other workers. So we are not going to treat him as a real recluse. But with that idea, they never happy to listen to the Buddha. 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. Buddha asked, please listen to me. He told, what to listen? Because you are a person, now go for luxuries. And therefore, how can the Dhamma come from you? Earlier you were hardened practitioner like. Then the Buddha changed the technique and asked, have I ever bragged before, telling that I have even see a light or lightness? Then each other look at their own face again and again. They told, this Gotama the recluse is not bragging. He never told that he having any kind of a knowledge or superhuman powers or nothing. But now he says, please listen. So then Buddha asks, why? I did not mention you that I see a light, I see the lightness, because I did not see. Today why I am telling you, please listen. Because I see. And that make a kind of an opening. And then the Buddha uttered the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And there, Venerable Kondanya, the elder, he says, he see through, see things as there. Second day, Venerable Vappa, the Buddha took him and give a special guided meditation, the second in the line. And towards the end of his life, the Vappa had this exclamation, පස්සති පස්සෝ පස්සන්තං අපස්සන්තෝ පස්සති නපස්සන්තං නපස්සන්ති පස්සන්තෝ ච නපස්සති. He says, eight person can see other eight people, and he can see blind people also. He can see, this person can see, but these people, they can't see because they are blind. But the blind person, they can't discriminate the seer as well as the blind person, and he do not know who can explain you who is eight person. So therefore, he don't know where to look into. So before the Dhamma, we were like blind, and we don't know who is eyed, who has a normal eye, who is not having. So we can't discriminate. But once you become eyed person, you can understand the blind person versus the eyed person. So likewise, this opening, or unless otherwise such an opening happened, we are so arrogant. We are so adamant. We are so crooked. We are so perverted. So Dhamma never come up to you. Because you think you know. You know your deductive thinking is the way. You think you what you heard is the truth. And you think your dedication is the utmost in the world. And you think your faith is the best. But the Buddha says all five have the same disadvantage. Two same disadvantages. What you selected as good, part you selected as good may not carry the truth. What you rejected as, this is not my faith, this is not my liking, this is not what I heard in the book, this is not my deductive thinking and faith or view, may carry the truth. So that change is the most important turning point. So therefore, eyed person and the blind person, the eyed person at least can understand another eyed person. So that change, here the Buddha is, that surgery, here the Buddha is doing for Magandhi. Then Magandhi was pleading. Earlier he says, the Bunahu Samano Gotamo, the recluse Samana Gotama is a destroyer of the growth. I am not hesitant to tell him to the face. And accordingly, he told like that. And he proved, because you are restraining eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and therefore that is what I am telling you, are a destroyer. Now he says, Venerable, you know, you are qualified, you have the potential, please tell. Then the Buddha says, If you are so bent, if you are so prepared, if you are so humble yourself, if you are so innocent, if you have this beginner's mind, please associate true people. Please associate noble people. Tenaya magandhiya sappurisvam pappuriso bhajissasi. So that is the way. You have to associate a high person. All the other blind leading blind is the world. So therefore, your prime duty is not enlightened duty, it is not a learned person duty, your duty is the common sense. Those who are living in the noble way, what they say, the same thing he is practicing. What he is practicing, he is telling others. Not brainwashing, not the one thing in the daytime and one thing in the night time. So specifically when we become the co-practitioners, we can see each other. We are living together, we are sitting together, we are walking together. There you can understand how the dedication. So of course in the distance education and virtual retreats, it may be not so. But whenever such a thing happens, the prime important thing is they have the true people. So in early part of my life, I thought there are no such people. But the whole world is blind following the blind, specifically when I am learning science in the schools. I had it, but I don't know how to express at that time. So I found this is something wrong. Because I am from a middle class, I am a farming family, and I know interaction with the nature and all the kind of thing, but they are talking completely nonsense. They are bringing everything from the West. They are bringing everything from the unknown people and pouring. Not that I can accommodate, not that I can remember them, not that I can answer the questions, but I felt. And therefore I had something sarcastic about this bloody education. This is bloody linear education, but I was not aware what is the alternative. So simply I had, everyone is mad. And luckily or unluckily enough, I managed to go to university and all the kind of, therefore I had so much of proud, I was proud. I think others are foolish, because they are, whatever they are talking, and no essence. And so I was arguing and way forward and arrogant like Magandhya. So Venerable Dhammika only told you, okay, that you are good, but you are utter fool. Your nation, Sri Lanka, is utter fool, because they don't know the mindfulness, the simple action. Simple action of see things as they are. Leave it aside, the thinking, see as they are. Just bear attention. No one believes that bear attention is the key. Because there are no role models, no example. So Venerable Dhammika was telling me, this is the way it happens, and Zen masters are there, they are like that, and some people I have seen, they are not worrying about much, they are worrying about the present moment. And I felt it, but we have been not taught like that. So he took 3-4 years walking with me, climbing mountains and go to the centers and showing me the books and kind of thing. He told the first and foremost thing. I don't know, that made the change. And still I continued education, and I thought, when can I have this kind of a full time, be mindful? So even when I come to the Nisanvani and becoming a monk, I was not aware about this monastic code, what are the suttas, nothing, but just be here and now. But lucky enough, it was really fitting into this atmosphere. And when I come to the Venerable Jnanarama Thero, he told, yes, you read the suttas, they are in Sinhala and Pali, and read the Majjhima Nikaya. Venerable Jnanananda also told, I have no time for your personal time to give, but if you read, if you have question, please come and me. There I find, I look at the Tripitaka only through the mindfulness. Maybe I am fanatic. So when that happens, you see that more than what you expect, there are true people. There are noble people. But if you go to the fish market, if you go to the supermarket, and if you go to the carnival and search for true people, that is your foolishness. That is your utter the blinded with the blinkers. But there are a lot of occasions where you can see people with simple living and high thinking. And when they are not propagating or telling the Sinhalese Buddhism and nothing, they simply be here and now. And I was so happy about the Veluvana Dhamma group, very little group. And they are having 1 hour sitting in the Wednesday and 1 hour sitting in the 1 hour talk in the Sunday. And they are very simple group. I participated 3 years directly without doing a job, without marrying, without telling anyone that I am meditating, and continue with. So then only I can understand there is such a treasure. There are simple people on the earth. They are not advertising them. And that's a real, real... Others are psychopaths. Utter psychopaths. And they are asking you, they are giving this and that and chocolates and all the kind of thing, sweets and everything, but they are brainwashing. It can't help, because they are like Magandhya. They say that restraining and mindfulness and things, no, that cannot be. It must be with sugar coating and all the kind of camouflage. And people are very happy with that. So it is not the mistake of the master if you select the wrong way. So likewise, the association with the good, true people, tene magandhiya sapuruse bhajissasi, yato kotvam magandhiya sapuruse bhajissasi, tato tuam magandhiya dhammam sossasi. If you are associating with the true person, you are bound to listen to the dhamma, the things as they are, the truth. It is not so scared, not as scared to find, it is available. When you are taking the in-breath, you know you are in the in-breath. When you are in the present moment, you know in present moment. It need no any PhDs or diploma in science, Buddhist education, nothing. It is not necessary to be a born Buddhist. It is not necessary to be a forest monk. So Dhamma is there. And in the Zen method, it's called Tao, the natural way. That is a common sense. And the present day, everything is mixed up with and making big formulas and cults and rituals to make the simple thing complicated. This is so simple, unbelievable. That is what I heard in 1978-79. It's so simple, unbelievable. So therefore, Dhamma is there. When I was in Panditarama, and Sayadaw was giving, and I was so happy, because he never talked nonsense. And there was one lady doctor came from Canada, and she says, Bhante, the people says that Dhamma is so scared to find, difficult to find, and you have to do this and that. But I don't know, the Dhamma came alone my way. I am born in Canada, and that is how I came to you. If you are a simple person, if you know how to find a true person, Dhamma is coming. It is not locked under a cupboard and you have to pay for that. And in Sri Lanka, we have this Tripitaka, that means 50 odd number of books giving the three baskets. And these books never claim rights are reserved. All the other bullshit books, everyone in the first page, they say right reserved. Don't copy, don't electronically or so and so you copy. If it is so, you are being sued. Because it carries nonsense. The treasure, everything, the Buddha never made it a right reserved. The most important thing. So that is the way Dhamma. But even the monks in Sri Lanka never read Tipitaka. They read all the other books. I mean, reading is good, no problem. But it is such a free thing to get it. So that whenever you associate the true people, Dhamman Sosasi. And that is your main common sense must be to see true people. And for that you have to be down to earth. You have to be simple. You have to be honest. You have to be humble. Humble is the best word. And then the true people, you can easily associate with the other true people. And then they will, that you can hear Dhamma because they are telling. And that is your way is put that into practice. After listening to the Buddha, the Magandhi is asking, Bhante, I feel you have potential. You can take me, you can let me to see the Nibbana. I am a very learned person. I have all the other religious characteristic, but I feel. So that is the way you feel like not believing with the unrooted kind of a faith. You have the desire to put into practice. That's called kusala chanda, the put into practice. Dhammanu dhamma patipatti. So we, few people, and amidst of this all the COVID problems and amidst of the all the other family members in trouble and economic situation, we try to put mindfulness even while we are brushing our teeth, even while we are eating, even when we are taking a bath, even someone is finding fault with you. Even you find fault with others and you are angry, still you can put into practice. For that, of course, jhana grove is good. But today you all have been chased away because of this lockdown. And you are not deprived of anything. You can put everywhere. So likewise, put into practice. First you have to understand how to make it a hobby-like, how to make it a sustainable-like. But the falsified people make so much of rituals, so much of taboos, so much of bottlenecks. And that is the way they get a distance from the teacher and the disciple. But when you are practicing, you have no distance. You are. You know when you are seeing, you know you are seeing. When you are hearing, you know you are hearing. When you are smelling, you know smelling. No time gap. Under your very nose. So likewise, the Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatti, and when it is happening, when each and every moment, I will reduce into the mindfulness, and then you yourself know, you yourself see. So therefore, I remember one day I made this statement, if you are a Buddhist, or if you are a follower of the Buddha and follow Dhamma, meditation is the only thing. Or other way, I would say if you are not meditating still, in the common colloquial term, you are a person without head. You are a dead body or headless person. Whenever you are meditating, it must be vipassana. Maybe I am biased. And whenever it is vipassana, just simple, bear attention. So people, that day also I can remember, some were not happy telling that whole Buddhism, whole gravity or everything you are going to reduce to the bare attention and the mindfulness. I say, yes, it's the beginning. When it's happening, it is leading. So likewise, the Buddha says, whenever you put into practice, that is the only point. Please keep it in your mind. That's the only point you can verify. Others, big theories and formulas and mantras you can chant, very, very charming, but not verifiable. Ultimately, you are wasting your time like a blind person, misled by another fool by selling a dirty cloth. So likewise, the samang eva nyasasi, samang eva dakkasi. You can see, and that very thing you can't explain, that very thing you are not respecting, that is why you can't write a proper meditation experience, interview report. You are talking cock and bull stories. And lucky enough, there was a very young person in the retreat and there were some young people sending their reports. They are so sharp. They are short to the point, short and sweet. No nonsense. So by listening, I can say whether it's an elderly person or young person. Yeah, their writing methods and expressions are so much difference. I am not telling it is too late. I am telling never too late. So therefore, it's your own experience, the verifiable look, the verifiability. It's very scientific I am talking. Only thing is it's introvert. And whenever that kind of a verify, samang eva dakkasi, samang eva pasishasi, then Buddha says, you know, this is a disease, and this is a tumor, and this is a dart that you have paid for so far, just like a dirty cloth. And whenever you see only, the recovery starts. Otherwise, you are adoring or garland-like. If you are accepting the disease's turmoil and the dart, then you are succumb to that situation. So therefore, you have to understand, you have to diagnose what is happening. So therefore, knowing when the mind is with sickness or when the mind is with nivaranas or mind is with subtle defilements, that is the greatest. Don't worry about this is my mistake or who is responsible for that and how can I, why not I am given with the basic condition without these defilements and kind of thing. That means you are not diagnosing it. So this diagnosis of the available disease or tumor or a dart is the personality. You have to develop that personality. At the beginning, of course, you don't have. That's why you must have the faith. That's why we must have morality. And then on top of that, the mindfulness. And the day you accept it, this is a die. And you can understand what a fool. The whole life with the whole clan. This is what we have earned. And Magandhya says that is the productivity. Magandhya says that is the advancement. That is the creativity. Then the Buddha says, of course, that is the situation of the blind person. Instead you are telling, then you will never grab hold, you will never possess this kind of diseases, this kind of turmoils, this kind of darts. And upadana, whenever upadana gone, there is bhava, upadana paccha bhava, when the upadana ceases to exist, bhava, that becoming of that kind, is natural to ceases to exist. As far as the bhava, then jati, the reborn, is ceases to exist. So what we are expecting is we must have reborn without diseases. We have to be reborn without soka parideva dukkha domanasa jaramarana. We are so worrying about the get rid of jaramarana. We don't know. It is a package. Once born, it is in the package. And if you are believing that the rebirth and the newly born baby is such a blessing, that means you are so happy about the death. Birth is leading definitely to the death. But have you ever seen any death certificate, the root cause of the death as the birth? I mean, doctor will be dismissed. Never it will come into the birth certificate, the death certificate. So such a direct things. And jara, marana, soka, parideva, dukkha, domanasa, and you get as a package, as a birth. So therefore going backward, it is going up to the upadana, the clinging, and you are clinging into these kind of things, just like a dirty cloth. So therefore, knowing that, you can understand, the moment you see the vicious cycle, seeing itself is enough. Seeing itself is enough, and then you see the dismantling of happen. Don't rush. The only you have to do is don't grab hold these diseases and the turmoils and the darts as blessings or endowments or luxury or materiality. Then accordingly you will get the consequences. The moment you see, the greatest thing you see is what a fool am I. These are the one we grab hold. And then exactly when such a thing happened, the Magandhya says, Bande, it's a marvelous, it's unbelievable the way you revealed it. And therefore it is like when I am in the blind folded room, you are switch on the light light. And when I am bewildered in the forest, you are directing the path light. So therefore, please, please let me become a disciple of you, because I feel I see the truth as such. Then the Buddha says, usually we don't accept this kind of people from the outside. Those who have strong beliefs, we have to take 4 months probation. That is our standard rule. Then the Magandhya says, leave aside 4 months, but they give me 4 years of probation. Still it is worth. And with the due rules and regulations and whatever may be, or the etiquettes, he became a disciple of the Buddha, and soon he preferred being solitude and go into a solitude place and live up to this restraint, moral concentration and the wisdom. And whatever may be a person renounced from the household, what will be his the desired object, the Magandhya achieved that in this very life. So this is the formal ending of the discourse. So therefore it is a very revolutionary one. It is a evolving kind of discourse, and one episode to one episode, very dramatic and happening. Ultimately, the arrogant person accepted his arrogance and accepted the Buddha, accepted the Dhamma, accepted the Sangha, and accepted the Sila. accepted the restraint. So the way the Buddha communicated is so bright, so short to the point, the best way of teaching on the earth. So therefore hope the endeavorance and the effort we have taken to undergo this retreat will be meaningful and to put into practice, taking the Magandhya as an example, it is never too late. Once you met up with the true person, the Dhamma and Sangha and the moral precepts, that's a shortest cut to earn the first Maggapala or the Sotapatti Maggapala. So therefore, check your balance, check your balance sheet and see what is lacking, and there is no second person. You yourself has to fulfill it, and that very faith, that very understanding, that very not entertaining doubts will make a big difference in each and everyone's life. May that difference happen under your very nose. And with this wish, I would like to sum up the today's talk as well as the series of talk. Thank you very much for listening.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.